guess Tim's going to have to do it on his P-hone. That's not what you want.
P-hone stands for phone hone.
On his gosh dang telephone. Is that what he said? What did he? How do you say, David Lynch?
I don't know the reference.
When he was saying, if you watch a,
oh he, yeah,
it was like watching movies on an iPhone is something you shouldn't do. Don't watch it on your god dang telephone.
That does sound like a David Lynch.
The thing. Microphone should just work. Windows is just a nightmare. It's every god darn day.
Yeah,
I use this thing 16 hours a day. You'd think you'd god darn understand something about it by now.
Burn and insert credit. This is episode 215 of our relentless experiment of drilling video game topics to a panel of experts under a pace dictated by a horrible buzzer. I'm Alex Jaffe, and the first time I went to a store to get a video game on the day it released was for Halo 2.
Ooh. I'm Frank Cifaldi. The first time I went to a store to get a video game on the day it released was actually the Nintendo DS. I just walked into a Walmart at midnight in Vegas and was like, hey, you got that DS? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. And then that is how I got that. But that's not a game, I guess. Oh, I got Mario 64 that day and Field of Magic. So let's just go with Field of Magic. It was a launch day Field of Magic purchaser.
Field of Magic XXXY or whatever it's called.
That's the one. Yeah.
Rub Rabbits, as it's called in the UK for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, that's not a good name for literally anything. I don't care how artisanal your brand of stuffed animals sold at the farmer's market is. It doesn't make sense. I'm Tim Rogers, and the first video game I went to a store to buy on the day it came out, this is, Final Fantasy VII, I believe I went to the store. It had a release date. Not Final Fantasy VII. It would be Mario 64, because video game release dates like weren't really a thing for a long time. I bought Chrono Trigger on the day it came out. The Toys R Us called me and I went to pick it up. Does that count? It just didn't have a release date. I don't know if it came out at other stores on a different day before then. It just kind of came out when it came out. You used to not know when a game was coming out. It was exciting.
Yeah.
So there, that's my multifaceted answer.
I think mine is similar. I'm Brandon Sheffield, and probably the first video game that I bought on the day it came out was Panzer Dragoon Saga. But I don't know, the only way I would know that I actually got it on the day was I pre-ordered it. And that was the first game I ever pre-ordered, I think.
No, I pre-ordered it too, and they just didn't give it to me.
Yeah, so I actually had a similar situation where I pre-ordered Panzer Dragoon Saga, and then I went there on the day it was supposed to come out because I knew from the pre-order what day it was supposed to come out.
Yeah.
And they were like, it hasn't come in. So I got it a week later, but I went to the store to pick it up on the day that it came out. It just wasn't there.
That's bonkers.
Due to a scheduling conflict and some technical issues, our console ranking episode has been delayed to next week.
Uh-huh.
So this week we're doing a quick dive into the dirt bag. There's a special theme where we're going to be clearing out as many blank of video game submissions as we can in the time we have.
Oh, Lord.
All right. We'll start with Benjamin from Indiana, who asks, what is your fine barrel-aged Kentucky bourbon of video games, your $3 Mad Dog 2020 of video games,
okay,
and your oversized novelty lollipop of video games?
What?
Oh, my God.
That's... okay.
What was the middle one?
The Mad Dog 2020. Mad Dog. It's what is it? It's cheap liquor.
Okay.
Cheap liquor.
I figured it was, but I didn't know for sure.
I think your fine aged Kentucky bourbon of video games is, I think, like a G-Rev shooter. Under Defeat is the one that immediately comes to mind for me. But I previously called that the Burberry scarf of video games.
I think I would say it's more like an R-Type Final.
R-Type Final could be, yeah.
Like that was aged for a long time as well.
I love any game with the gear shift button in it. Yeah, and it is a... all R-Type games are sort of spiritual successors to one another, so it's perhaps R-Type. What's this middle one called? Johnny Big Boy?
Mad Dog 2020.
Mad Dog Blue Boy?
Something like that.
Well, no, don't go blue, because blue is typically Johnny Walker blue in the whiskey world, which is yeah.
That's not $20.20.
No, it's about eight of those.
Flavored fortified wine.
Flavored fortified with what? Uh-huh. Like vitamins?
Alcohol.
I mean, it's probably a free to play version of like a bigger game. It's like
PUBG Mobile.
PUBG Mobile, Super Mario Run.
Okay.
It's called 2020 because it's 20 ounces and 20% alcohol.
Heck.
Oh.
It'll get you.
Limits the number of sizes.
I got my answers for all three. I figured it out. So, okay. Kentucky Bourbon of Games is Symphony of the Night. Mad Dog is the second Castlevania on Game Boy. And Oversized Novelty Lollipop is Little Baby Dracula on the Famicom / Game Boy.
Ooh, Kid Dracula.
No, I think it's Castlevania Judgment for the Nintendo Wii. Castlevania
I like that.
Fighting game. It could be either.
Okay.
Of those.
Okay. Good.
All right. Good. Next one. Eric Eaton asks, "What is the Bob Dylan of video games?"
Anthem. That's a joke.
Why?
Because it was codenamed Anthem. Do you not remember that?
Right. That was actually the context in which this question was asked. That I.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good. Anthem was originally codenamed Dylan because they wanted to make something timeless like Bob Dylan, and instead they just made like a really bad, bland video game, which is funny.
Which is timeless in a way.
Can't spell bland without all the letters in Bob Dylan.
My interpretation of Bob Dylan of anything is that there are earlier works that aren't as good that people like more.
Uh-huh.
And then later works that are more interesting that people don't like.
People like less. Hmm. And also, he won a Nobel Prize for literature, but number one, you can't really understand what he says. And number two, he didn't show up to the ceremony.
Nice.
So
I remember that.
Those are all things, right? Is that helping? Yeah. What video game would win a Nobel Prize and not show up? Would win a Nobel Prize for its lyrics, its unintelligible lyrics, and then not show up to receive the prize.
A travesty.
Roberta Williams, until recently anyway, never showed up for things, right? So she made King's Quest, which I don't know if it's you know what, playing it, yes, I would call it unintelligible as a game. She refused to show up for Lifetime Achievement Awards and stuff like that, so that's my answer.
All right.
But also, like, her later stuff isn't more interesting. So it kind of falls apart with my analogy, but maybe we can't have every analogy.
So the question isn't who is the Bob Dylan, it's what is,
right?
That makes it too difficult. I mean, let's just say this. Those people making that Anthem game trying to say they're making the Bob Dylan of video games, a code name Dylan, utter nonsense. That's probably why the game was a failure.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not where you start with, man. Don't start there.
Anyway, it's Star Fox by Dylan Cuthbert.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the one.
Timothy asks, what is the F for fake of video games?
Oh, that's getting a little granular now.
Whew.
The Sega-ga-ga.
Mm.
That sounds right.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's
I
a
like
good answer.
That. We've all seen this movie, right?
Good answer.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. I watch that movie every year on May 6th.
I'll admit I've never watched it. I never did.
Hey, Brandon, you want a recommendation for a good movie to watch?
Yeah.
Watch that movie. It's pretty good.
I finally just watched Citizen Kane all the way through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe you mentioned
that. So I was about to say, Orson Welles is just Citizen Kane and F for Fake, and you're good.
Yeah.
The thing with Citizen Kane, man, that sure is a movie for film nerds and not really for much else, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's, first of all, it's impossible to watch the movie right now for the very first time and erase from your mind all of these superlatives people hurl at it. So I don't blame you for having a difficult time appreciating it as quote-unquote the greatest film of all time.
But it is very good, especially for its time in terms of construction and all the things that it tried and succeeded at.
I mean, given also the fact that he was kind of openly, like, dissing a real existing live man.
Yeah,
and demonstrating his downfall and depressing death and longing for his childhood that had not occurred yet.
Yeah,
kind of wild stuff, Jerry.
No, it had a lot of good biz to it. It's just kind of not that entertaining to watch, but it does have the bit where he says, "I will not have myself made ridiculous."
Yeah, I will not have myself made ridiculous. You should watch F for Fake because it is not it doesn't have a genre. Let's put it that way. F for Fake is a genreless thing. I would just say Sega-ga-ga.
Sega.
Yeah.
Anonymous asks, what is the Anna Karenina of video games?
Anna Karenina. The Witcher 3, because it's got a love story. That's a joke. I don't know. Something from Russia?
Yeah.
Stalker?
Metro?
Stalker. Yeah, that's the Russian game, right? That's,
yeah.
That's
Metro. Metro Exodus is also the Russian game.
Yeah, Metro is also.
Oh, true.
What you wanted me to just list games that might have been made in Russia? I feel like in an alternate universe, Alan Wake could have been made in Russia.
Did you also, Frank, go to the Russian consulate?
That? What was the name of that company?
1C.
1C, yes. Russian computer game company. Yeah.
We saw them very proudly display Il-2 Sturmovich, which was like, who even knew what Sturmovich? That was? It was some sort of, it was a dogfighting game for like PC, I think.
Oh.
Well, I mean, the one that stuck out for us was Rig and Roll, which was...
Rig and Roll?
You're a trucker making deliveries, but also, like, there's heavy rock music, and it's got some Grand Theft Auto-ness to it.
Guys, what are we doing here? It's Tetris.
Oh, yeah, it's Tetris.
It's unhappy families are all the same, and happy families are all the same, too, but the unhappy families are different, something like that. Is that how the book starts? That's a joke. Of course, I've read that
book.
Wait,
I think actually... To get it a little closer to Anna Karenina, maybe it should be Hattress.
Oh, Hattress. There's some hats in there.
Yeah.
Sure. Kiko B asks, what is the Sonic the Hedgehog the movie of video games?
Street Fighter the movie, the game.
I was going to say Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie.
That one's good, too.
Those are good, yes.
Yeah. I think that Peter Jackson's King Kong, the movie, the
Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie.
Is better than the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think that Sonic the Movie is better than many recent Sonic
games.
So I think that's correct.
Peter Jackson's King Kong is a pretty good movie. It's okay.
I don't like it.
It's no Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island owns.
He has his little heart to heart with the King Kong at the end. Jack Black does. It's too silly.
His line reads too.
'Twas beauty killed the
beauty
beast.
That
Jack Black is hilarious. Do you ever see that Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah, that one's
pretty
good.
That's a joke. That Kung Fu Panda kind of sucks.
Actually, I like Kung Fu Panda more than I like Nacho Libre. That's for sure.
I don't know about Nacho Libre. You ever play that Brutal Legend? That Tim Schafer guy's hilarious.
Tim Schafer? Yeah, he's pretty good.
I'm just kidding. I don't think so.
I think he's funny.
John H. asks, what is the Shake Shack of video games?
Shake Shack, dude.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let me tell you about Shake Shack.
Yes, please.
Shake Shack is a trash palace
that
is founded by some daddy's money having rich boys
who
became blessed with word of mouth through sheer virtue of having some sort of inn that got them the ability to open a location in literally Madison Square Park. Their food doesn't necessarily taste good, but people love to. They manufactured a rivalry between Shake Shack and In-N-Out so that I was in line because someone from out of town wanted to have Shake Shack. It's a New York thing. And it was in town in New York. I got to try this Shake Shack. My buddy from California is in line and we're talking. And he's like, oh, when I get back to California, and some big old Super Mario, the movie, the video game, the movie, IRL guy standing in line behind us goes, when you get back to California, you tell them all Shake Shack beats the crap out of In-N-Out, right? And I'm just like, uh-oh. It's so weird that this guy who's clearly never left Brooklyn until today, when he has come to Manhattan for the first time, is just like ready to go to war for Shake Shack, a company founded in like literally 2013 with this old world looking logo. Basically, they used this manufactured... word of mouth rivalry with In-N-Out to just become an ubiquitous franchise now all over New York. And there's even a location, they opened a location in LAX, which was like kind of their ultimate diss to In-N-Out. But In-N-Out stands completely, I believe, oblivious, just head and shoulders oblivious to the existence of this place. Here's the thing about In-N-Out that I'm going to tell you about In-N-Out. In-N-Out will never cost $40 per person, no matter how hungry you are. Whereas Shake Shack does every time. You want an $80 lunch, right? So what's the video game version of that?
But In-N-Out also prints Christian propaganda.
They don't print Christian propaganda. They print a Bible address, a Bible URL. They print a Bible URL on the bottom of the cup.
They used to put Psalm specific
yeah,
song.
Yeah, that's the URL. Yeah,
that's what I mean by the URL. Yeah, it's just a URL.
It's just a chapter and verse.
But also, if we're talking about the food, I like this angle that Shake Shack is entirely manufactured as a rivalry and some rich boys.
I'm Googling Halo killers, but I'm coming up empty. But it is a Halo killer of some kind.
For me, with the rich people thing, I was thinking Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning with Kurt Schilling's like crappy kind of scam shell company that he made.
Oh, could be that. I mean, I feel like it's like people will tourism to New York. They will come a touristing to New York City and expect to have Shake Shack as like, I guess now they don't really have to because there's one literally in Indianapolis, but they'll come to New York and they want to go to that original location because it's so New York. That original location opens like less than 10 years ago. But it looks like an ancient place. It looks like it's been there for 100 years. Yeah. So is there a game that just tries to manufacture a veneer of classicism to like rival something that is established?
BioShock?
That could be good. But BioShock is pedigreed. It does have involvement of developers of actual classics, though.
That's true. Yeah.
But also, no one is like, yeah, BioShock is a blank killer. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the manufactured rivalry, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was sort of a System Shock killer a little bit in the early days.
But System Shock was very old at that point.
It's true. So it doesn't really make...
Was Bubsy not marketed as like a Mario Sega killer?
Well, sure. Yeah, I was trying to avoid that because it was like something more recent.
Battletoads, dude. Battletoads. There are people to this day who act like get all up in arms if you suggest Battletoads isn't great.
That's true.
Battletoads battle blows. And yeah, that's my answer now.
We're way over time. We got to keep going. Per Hasselstrom asks, what is the Satin Tango of video games?
What's that?
It's a 1994 Hungarian epic drama film directed by Bélatar.
Oh, Satin Tango. Okay. Yeah,
it
I know that.
It runs for more than 7 hours.
A 7 hour long movie.
That's a long one.
I can't tell you how many times per day someone asks me if I've seen that movie simply because I made an 8 hour, 9 hour, 6 hour YouTube video. The length of the video differs depending on who is talking about it. People ask, have you seen that movie? It's like, I mean, I don't know. Have I also lived 10 hours of a day before? Like, what other questions you want to ask? Have I ever spent 9 hours doing something else? Like, I don't know. I've never seen that movie. All I know about it is that it's 7 hours long.
So what's a video game people only know because it's long?
Or not even just because it's long. They know one thing about it that's extreme. I feel like there's a million like meme games that are just like, haha, this game is ridiculous. Goat Simulator?
I was about to say Goat Simulator.
Isn't there like somebody made like a quick cash-in fake Battle Royale game that's like funny, and then they made like $1 million off of it?
Cow Clicker.
Well, I don't know, but that actually kind of implies that it's I'm sure Satan Tango has a there was a pure motive behind the making of it, probably, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not to we can't really
I think
say.
There was a pure motive behind the Cow Clicker thing, which was to mess with Facebook, but it's not coming from the same position necessarily.
Yeah, because it's a pure motive to conduct mischief.
Yes.
I don't want to say Desert Bus, but what about like Euro Truck Simulator? How's that?
That's pretty good.
It's just like you're driving a truck.
Microsoft Flight Simulator.
And it's something, if Flight Simulator is good, I think Euro Truck is like is a little weirder and artier and not corporate.
And it's Euro. Yeah.
It's a similar thing, and it's Euro. It's a similar thing to brag about. And it's also something I always feel like I always want to get into playing these truck simulator games.
All right, we got.
And also, I get recommended Euro Truck Simulator all the time because of Truck Heck. I get people being like, "Oh, is it going to be just like Euro Truck Simulator?" So there's that as well. So there you go.
All right,
I'm satisfied.
Great. Next question. Crumbling Zero asks, "What is the a bout de souffle of video games?"
A bout de souffle? You mean breathless?
Yes.
A bout de souffle is that when a when a Canadian's about to catch on fire?
Is that is that a scene from the Werner Herzog film, Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe?
he gets
yes.
He certainly has to eat his shoe in that one.
Did you watch it? Did you ever see that short film about him eating his shoe?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's also directed by Les Blank, who directed Burden of Dreams.
Yeah,
and that dude has I think I mentioned this briefly, he had a office above our Hooli Records, which did that compilation that I was recommending earlier about early Americana music. So there you go. It all ties together. But what's A Boot de Souffle? What is that?
It's Breathless.
1960 film.
Oh, Breathless.
Yeah, Breathless.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
That's a good question. It is a good question, because I mean, it is a new new kind of it was a part of a new a wave, I think. I believe they called it a new wave.
French new wave.
Yeah, this is one of those vibes.
I believe that they were calling it that. I'm just thinking about Werner Herzog Eats His Shoe, because did you, Brandon, have you seen Nathan For You?
No, I have not.
Oh, you'd like
it. You should watch Nathan For You and then read Errol Morris. Errol Morris wrote a piece for The New Yorker about how much he loved Nathan For You, the finale of Nathan For You. He said it was his favorite documentary film of the decade.
I think Ash was trying to describe it to me, or somebody was. Was it Ash?
Might have been.
You should just watch Nathan For You. Don't let someone describe it to you. It's just good. Know that it builds up to something.
Well, it was because I thought it was stupid without watching it, and that's why they were trying to describe it to me.
It is produced by Absolutely and such.
It was inevitable we were going to have to get here, but it's got to be like Metal Gear Solid, right? Like, it ushered in the postmodern video game idea or whatever, so it was a new wave in an essence. It's got to be something like that.
Breathless is a little bit minimalist and a little bit light on things like exposition. It contains conversational dialogue, whereas Metal Gear is a hardcore, if we're going formally.
I meant less in terms of the content and more in terms of the...
What it inspired.
Yeah, the transitionary period.
I think we got to go with that because...
All right, let's keep going then.
Devil's Blush asks, who is the Carlo Rimbaldi of video games?
Carlo Rimbaldi?
Who's that?
He's a real jerkweed.
He made E.T. He, like, designed E.T.
No, that was Spielberg.
No, you. he's a special effects guy.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is. Okay, he known for his work on E.T., King Kong, Alien.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, I feel like this would be easier if someone said Stan Winston, but I guess Carlo Rimbaldi is, he's like a little earlier, so maybe he's a little more foundational.
Yeah.
It's got to be like some kind of a graphics programmer.
I make it a graphics.
I make it the graphics.
Yeah, Mario graphics.
So it's probably like...
Mario Paint is the Carlo Rimbaldi.
I don't know, John Carmack?
Yeah, but John Carmack make it a graphics, yeah.
He make it a graphics go so nice.
He make the graphics go real fast. That was his thing.
Oh yeah, and he continued to do it. Yeah, I like this, yeah.
He did the super texture and everything.
And he's similarly involved now with in less glamorous aspects than he might have been in the past. Not as front and center. And he tweets about not being able to get Coke Zero.
I like that. Andy Dousman asks, what is the using a shaving brush and shaving soap instead of an electric razor or a disposable razor with canned shaving cream of video games?
Okay, first of all, Andy Dousman, nice to hear from you. Me and him hung out once in Oakland, California. It was a good time.
That's where I live. Yeah, that's where Frank lives.
Cool guy. Shaving with a brush instead of just a regular, god darn it, it's getting yourself a mister instead of emulating games on your PC like a scrub.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's pretty good, but I'm thinking I played Hollow Knight with a fight stick.
Oh, crike.
That is some real shaving brush, etc. gameplay, I think.
I lit up the Final Fantasy VII Remake on PC today just to make sure I could get it, you know, running, because I'm doing a stream of it tomorrow. So if you're somehow listening to this call right now, watch my stream tomorrow. Otherwise, it's too late. It sure was nice to play that game that I've played for 200 hours with an Xbox One Elite controller.
I like your angle, Frank. It reminds me of those people that were trying to beat everything with a Dreamcast fishing controller.
Or with a Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, but that's not prestige.
No, it's not.
So that's gimmick, right? I mean, here's another prestige one I did. You remember Wind Waker had that Tingle tuner with the GBA? So I set it up where we had Wind Waker over the official component cables on a giant HDTV, and the link cable was going to a GameCube hooked to a CRT over RGB. So the Tingle Tuner was like on a 25-inch Sony PVM in beautiful quality, as was the Wind Waker part. That is prestige Tingle Tuner. Oh, and we use the Hori Game Boy pad that I purchased from Tim Rogers like 2 decades ago.
Oh, beautiful controller. As someone who has shaved with a brush and lather and either a double-edged safety razor or a straight razor for the last 20 years and prides myself on my skin being very nice, I would like to say that one thing that's really good to know about shaving with a lather and brush is I have replaced my brush, my badger hair brush, 0 times in the last 20 years. I have replaced my double edge 0 times. I've replaced my safety razor 0 times. The straight razor cost me $100 when I got it, and I still have it, and it still cuts, and it still works. So I have spent $0 upgrading or upkeeping it. So maybe that's something to take into account. The fact that some people are out there dropping big dollars at Costco on packages of razor cartridges, and I'm just over here raking in the savings on what actually counts for superior hardware. Superior hardware, less money. Maybe that counts for something.
Me and Vincent Diamante and Aaron Novak and Dirk Neely and some other fun people in Los Angeles played OSCA 120% Limit Over, which is the burned extra after-the-fact update to OSCA 120% Limited. And we played that on the giant screen for arenas that they show stuff behind rock shows on through a Framemeister on the Saturn. So it was like the characters were the same size as us.
Yeah, we played video ball on that before too.
Yeah, it's a good screen for that kind of an experience. So
if anybody listening wants to find my Instagram post of me standing in front of video ball on that screen and like it, I think it only has like 20 likes. It could use a whole lot more.
Yeah,
let's drive that number up.
All right.
I think OSCA 120% actually is a good video game answer because it's an old game that is just still rock solid and straightforward a billion years later.
Aged well.
And requires it's a little tiny bit paraphernalia for me to shave with this brush, but it's
all right,
good.
Let me ask three more.
Three more.
Three more.
All right.
Yuji asks, what is the Neapolitan ice cream of video games?
Oh, that's a Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt and
World Class Track Meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Break it out at birthday parties, and if anyone complains, they're being picky. Because which one of those three games don't you want? And also
Mario's chocolate, and Duck Hunt is strawberry, and World Class Track Meet is vanilla.
Yeah, because let's face it, the vanilla is never the strongest.
I would flip around World Cross Drag Meat and Duck Hunt.
For flavor complexity.
Vanilla ice cream is delicious, but I think
but not in a Neapolitan.
Yeah, in Neapolitan, that's it's always inferior.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's it. Rainbow Battle Kid asks, what or who is the Michael Jordan of baseball of video games?
Oh, so Michael Jordan, man, I almost want to say Curt Schilling, Kingdoms of Amalur, because Michael Jordan, if you've watched The Last Dance and you've watched the 30 for 30 documentary, Jordan Rides the Bus, and if you've paid attention, I mean, obviously basketball skills do not carry over 100% to any other sport, though Michael Jordan's work ethic certainly does. He got good at basketball. He credits his obsessive amount of practice with his being responsible for 100% of his basketball skill. It was all practice for him. That and being tall. It is said, if you look at the numbers and look at the way the numbers were evolving, he would have been good at baseball if there hadn't been, there was a strike and they were asking the AA teams to move up. And as a member of the NBA Players Union, he did not want to be a scab in baseball. So he quit baseball and just went back to basketball. So he did not quit because it is hugely misconceived that he quit baseball because he wasn't good at it. He was getting better at an insane rate. So I don't know.
Tim, I hate to contradict you, but Michael Jordan quit baseball so he could save the Looney Tunes from the Monstars.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Oh, Space Jam, baby. We just watched that over here recently.
I guess it would be someone who switched careers, but actually could have been pretty okay at it.
I'm thinking switched genres. Did one, it was promising, and that was it.
Or what about a studio that made a game that didn't sell, even though it was good?
Yeah, that's good, too.
And then they went out of business or whatever. Steven Spielberg's Boom Blocks, dude. Boom Blocks.
Yeah. But game's they did a good. Second one.
Well, but then they didn't
they
make
did a... do another one.
Well, okay, they did do another one, but they didn't. Spielberg's little production company. Spielberg didn't decide to direct any video games after that, did he?
Yeah, they never finished Elemento or whatever it was called.
Yeah, so Spielberg. I'm going with Spielberg's Boom Blocks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Boom Blocks was good. Have you guys played Boom Blocks? That game's good, man.
Nope.
I don't know. Game rules.
Yeah, people liked it.
I haven't played, but I've also never seen Michael Jordan play baseball, so
nice.
Might hold.
There you go.
Paul asks, and this is a question I've almost asked many times, what is the Weird Al Yankovic of video games?
Weird Al Yankovic? Oh, well, I don't want to say like Saints Row, because Saints Row is the Family Guy of video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird Al Yankovic is not the Family Guy of music.
No.
There aren't a lot of good parody things, and I think the closest is something like Undertale, which is a parody without making fun of it.
I was tempted to go Arcane Kids, but it's not pure parody.
Also, let's not forget that Yankovic puts out full albums.
Sure.
Of original stuff as well.
Yeah, and there's original stuff in there as well. And he's famous for changing the word bad to fat or like whatever. Like, I mean, you got to admit, there's genius there. It's genius. A lion of genius sleeps somewhere within the jungle of changing the word bad to fat.
I think it's all pretty funny and decent.
Yeah, Weird Al's great.
Stuff and good instrumentalists on those albums.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would have to be like a dev team that can do anything. So like, I don't know, 90s Hudson or something like that.
What about
interesting.
Game publisher Palladium Interactive? I'm going to read you their output, okay? Microshaft, okay. Wind Blows 98.
Wind Blows. Okay.
Pissed.
I know Pissed.
Oh, it's for people who got mad.
X-Fools, the spoof is out there, comma, nice. The. And then Wishbone Activity Zone, based on the doc. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
That's probably the Weird Al Yankovic.
I'm going with Boom Blocks for Nintendo Wii.
What if Wishbone Activity Zone is, you know, really good? Like they didn't have to do the parody thing. They really just put their heart into Activity Zone.
It well could be. We just got through a third of the of video games questions. We might do another edition of this some other time.
Hopefully people send a bunch more in a similar vein.
Let's sign off for now, and next week we'll be back with our console ranking episode.
Or will we?
We'll find out. Till next time, the show is edited by Esper Quinn, with music by Kurt Feldman. I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Frank Spaldy.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Brandon Sheffield.
And you have now saved your game.
You have now jerried your Seinfeld, is what I would say.